Let's open with hymn number 331.
Thank you.
Holy Ghost. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord.
And thou forgivest the iniquity of my sins.
O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor miserable sinner, confess unto thee all my sins and iniquities, with which I have ever offended thee, and justly deserve thy temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them, and sincerely repent of them. And I pray thee of thy boundless mercy, and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of thy beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor sinful being.
Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all your sins, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Turn yourself to me and have mercy, O Lord. For I am desolate and afflicted. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins, O my God. To you, O Lord, I lift up my soul. O my God, I trust in you. Let me not be ashamed. You are the God of my salvation. On you I wait all the day. My eyes are ever toward the Lord, for he shall pluck my feet out of the net. Keep my soul and deliver me. Let me not be ashamed, for I put my trust in you. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Turn yourself to me and have mercy, O Lord. For I am desolate and afflicted. Look upon my affliction and my pain, and forgive all my sins, O my God.
Thank you.
Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we all, like sheep, have gone astray, having allowed ourselves to be led away from the right path by Satan and our own sinful flesh. We beseech thee graciously to forgive us all our sins for the sake of thy Son, Jesus Christ, and quicken our hearts by thy Holy Spirit, that we may abide in thy word, and in true repentance and a steadfast faith, continue in thy church unto the end, and obtain eternal salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, thy Son, who lives and reigns with thee and the Holy Ghost, one true God, world without end. The Old Testament lesson for this third Sunday after Trinity is found in the 12th chapter of Isaiah, the 1st through the 6th verse. And in that day you will say, O Lord, I will praise you. Though you were angry with me, your anger is turned away, and you comfort me. Behold, God is my salvation. I will trust and not be afraid, for Yah the Lord is my strength and song. He also has become my salvation. Therefore, with joy you will draw water from the wells of salvation. And in that day you will say, Praise the Lord, call upon his name, declare his deeds among the peoples. Make mention that his name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for he has done excellent things. This is known in all the earth. Cry out and shout, O inhabitant of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel in your midst. Here ends the Old Testament lesson.
Cast your burden on the Lord, and he shall sustain you. I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save me. He has redeemed my soul in peace.
The epistle lesson for this day is found in the 5th chapter of 1 Peter, the 6th through the 11th verse. Therefore, humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Be sober and be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. Resist him, steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood in the world. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. To him be the glory and the dominion, forever and ever. Amen.
Alleluia, alleluia. I will love you, O Lord, my strength. The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer. Alleluia.
Gospel is found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the 1st through the 10th verse.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, This man receives sinners and eats with them. So he spoke this parable to them, saying, What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing.
And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost." I say to you that likewise there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the piece which I lost." Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents. Here ends the gospel. We confess the Christian faith with the Apostles' Creed. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven, and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. We sing hymn number 326. Grace, mercy, and peace be multiplied unto you in God our Father and in our Lord Jesus Christ. Our lesson is found in the 15th chapter of Luke, the Gospel lesson, verses 1 through 10. Then all the tax collectors and sinners drew near to him to hear him. And the Pharisees and scribes complained, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he spoke this parable to them, saying, "What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he loses one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one which is lost until he finds it? And when he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying to them, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep, which was lost.' I say to you, likewise, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 just persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp, sweep the house, and search carefully until she finds it? And when she has found it, and she calls her friends and neighbors together, saying, 'Rejoice with me, for I have found the peace which I lost.' Likewise, I say to you, there is joy in the presence of the angels of God over one sinner who repents." Here ends our text. You may be seated. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Beloved in Jesus Christ, in this text we have a table full of sinners, a parable, three kinds of righteousness, and Jesus, the sinner's friend. There is a table full of sinners because the only people who draw near to Jesus, who gladly sit down at his table, are sinners. There is a parable because some of the Pharisees complained that Jesus was sitting and eating with sinners. And there are three kinds of righteousness because Jesus is speaking to and about three different kinds of people. There are three kinds of righteousness, but only one Jesus and only one table. For the first kind of righteousness is found in those who watch the gathering at Jesus' table, and they complain about what they see. They grumble at Jesus for being a host to sinners. The first kind of righteousness is self-righteousness. And these people are not at the table of Jesus. The second kind of righteousness is that of the 99 just people who do not need repentance. They are already at the table. They did not need to gather around Jesus because they were already glad to be there. And they do not need repentance because they already have it. And that is why they are a just people. And the third kind of repentance, or of righteousness, is the righteousness of the lost. For they too are at the table. They come not because they're glad to have the righteousness of Jesus Christ already, but because they need it desperately, and only Jesus can give it to them. They especially are the subject of Jesus' parable. They are the lost. They are the ones whom Jesus seeks out. When Jesus begins a parable, "What man of you?" we know something is a little bit different, because with many of Jesus' parables, he tells a story that sounds normal at first, and then it gets a bit strange, and in that strangeness we find his point. But here he is chastising a number of self-righteous Pharisees and scribes, who are complaining that Jesus will receive and eat with tax collectors and sinners. "What man of you," Jesus says, "would do anything different if something that you hold dear was lost?" In fact, the moment that Jesus says these words, "What man of you," the conclusion was assured and the argument is won. Every mouth of his opponents would be silenced by their own hypocrisy. But their hypocrisy is also our own hypocrisy. And as it is, your complaint often says more about you than it says about the person against whom you are complaining. And while you might never actually voice such a complaint as the Pharisees did here, your unspoken complaint, the attitude of your heart, is just as real and just as directed against God as was the complaint of the Pharisees about Jesus, against Jesus. you would have a hard time identifying a self-righteous person, because they all look and sound like you. And that's because most self-righteous people don't express it openly, but only in their hearts. And so you may not have said a word when you saw the drug dealer, the prostitute, the local gossip, the rich tax cheat, the wife beater, the abusive mother, or the town drunk. But you got that feeling, that little bit of self-satisfaction that says, I'm not that bad. I am not like them. Perhaps instead you said, there but for the grace of God go I. But that's exactly the same thing. So that's the first kind of righteousness in our text. The self-righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. It is buried in your own hearts also, because you cannot get rid of it so long as you have your sinful flesh. It is just one more sin piled up upon the others. But there's another kind of righteousness in the text. The righteousness of the 99 just persons who need no repentance. What does this parable say about them? Well, the first thing it says is that they are just persons. They are not self-righteous. God would not call the self-righteous man just, because such a man is just only in his own eyes. God's judgment is always true. If he calls them just, then the judge has spoken and his word means what it says. Who can contradict God? Who can say that his judgment is flawed, or that perhaps he's just simply lacking all the evidence? He sees all. He sees the nature of the people who sit at his table, and he calls them just. He has already declared them righteous. They need no repentance. That is because they already have repentance. It's like if someone were to ask you, do you need any food? And you answered, no, I do not need any food. You don't mean that you don't ever need to eat, but you mean that you already have all the food that you need. So it is with the 99. They already have repentance. And what do the 99 just persons sound like when they see the brother who is lost? Because they need no repentance, this is what they say. I am just like him. Whatever I did not do with my hands or my words, I did 1,000 times in my heart. 1,000 times a day I hated my neighbor, and I abused the body that God has given me. I have thought evil of others. I've been angry with my spouse or parents. I've wished for freedom from my God-given duties. All that and more I have done, because I am no better. I am no different. But still, Jesus calls them just people. They have repentance. And therefore, you who look upon your sins and yet come to Jesus confessing them, even the sins that burden you day after day, you are the 99. You are righteous because rather than wandering off and living in the sins that plague you, you daily confess your sins and repent of them and rejoice in the righteousness that God has given you by the death and resurrection of his Son, Jesus Christ. And so that is the second righteousness, the righteousness of the 99 just persons who need no repentance. Now think about what it means that Jesus seeks out the one out of 100 who is lost. That one sheep who wanders off from the flock. Why does he do it? Why doesn't he just do what the Pharisees expect of him and say, they made their choice, I am through with them. He certainly could do that, and Jesus would still be just. But what man of you would do that with one of your own prized possessions? Whether it's a sheep, or a coin, or a child, you would search for them diligently until you found them. And when you found them, you would rejoice. And why? Because you love your sheep, your precious things, your children. Even so, Jesus loves you. Think about what it would mean if Jesus were to do what the grumbling Pharisees expected of him. What if Jesus were to write off the lost and not seek them out? What would that say about those who remained and continued in repentance? Well, it would mean that really Jesus didn't care whether they stay or whether they go. It doesn't mean anything either way to him. It would mean that he doesn't love them either. Does God hold you dear? Does he cherish you when you remain in his house? If you live a life of repentance and do not go wandering off into sin and unbelief, does he then hate you? Of course not. God loves his children. Jesus loves his church. If God were not distraught when one of his saints falls into unbelief, then where would his love be? He would not be a loving father, and Jesus would not be a loving savior. He would not have compassion on anyone if he did not have compassion for the lost soul. What man of you would not do the same for your own children? But how much more then does God love the lost? For there is yet a third righteousness in our text, not self-righteousness or the righteousness of the saints, but the righteousness that God wants to give to the lost. And that is why he seeks them out. He is not satisfied until he restores even a single soul out of 100 and makes just that one more sinner righteous again. For if the angels in heaven delight in the righteousness of the saints on earth and rejoice that so many live in repentance, how much more indeed do they rejoice over the lost sinner whom Jesus has found again, whom he gathers back to his flock, whom he carries on his shoulders and parades before the angels in heaven and declares, "Rejoice with me, for look, I have found the sinner that I had lost." How much more indeed must Jesus love you who despair of your sin, who are afraid that you have gone too far, that you have crossed the line, that there's no turning back because you've too long ignored God's grace. Too long have you grown cold to the mercy which he's shown in the death of his son for you. You who have indulged that pet sin one too many times, though you knew it was wrong, even though you knew exactly what you were doing, and were so cold-hearted about it that you even planned to repent later, and so you treated the grace of God like a nice suit or a dress that you could throw aside for a while and then pick it up and dust it off and put it back on. You who have sneered at the other people whose sin is worse than you and indulged in that false sense of security called self-righteousness, it is you whom Jesus loves. It is you whom Jesus seeks out. This is who Jesus gathers around himself to sit at his table, to eat and to drink. He gathers you. And he does what drives the Pharisees crazy. He lets you sit at his table and eat and drink just like you belonged there in the first place, just as if you had never left, just as if you had always been a cherished member of his house. And of course, you should be there. And you should not think it strange that Jesus should receive a sinner such as you. Because if you truly were not such a sinner, then you would be at the wrong table. For you see, Jesus receives sinners and eats with them. And everyone at the table is a just person who needs no repentance, because at that table, every person comes as a sinner. And they admit their guilt, and yet they come anyway, and they sit down. And if you want to sit down and eat with Jesus, then you would therefore better be a sinner. For that is the only kind of people that Jesus receives. He does not forgive the sins of anyone but sinners. He does not give his body and shed his blood for anybody, but for sinners. Therefore, if you indeed are a damnable sinner, then rejoice. Because Jesus is seeking you out. Jesus has a place prepared for you at his table. No, Jesus has not made a mistake. He didn't invite you because he didn't realize what kind of person you are. He wants you. Therefore, draw near to Jesus with the other sinners and sit down to eat with him. Do not be afraid to admit what you are, for you are just like the rest of us. Therefore, gather around Jesus, repent of your sins, and rejoice with us together and the angels in heaven in the righteousness which God has given to you in Jesus Christ. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Amen. Let us pray. O Lord, our God and strength, our joy, who by delivering Jesus Christ, thine only begotten Son, to the death of the cross and raising him to glory, brought unto us life and immortality. We praise thee for thy manifold mercies. We thank thee for the gifts which you have given us in body and soul, at home and work, in the world which you have created. Especially do we glorify thee for thy Son, Jesus Christ, in whom thou hast provided for us the full remission for all our sins, the strength to overcome all evil and temptation, and the assurance of eternal life. Grant that as there is joy in the presence of thine angels over one sinner who repents, we may confess our transgressions also before thee. Forgive us our iniquities, turn away thine anger, and comfort us by thy compassion. Help us in all temptations and trials of our faith, that we may resist the prince of this world, and so be preserved from all evil. Endow thy church with a zeal for her holy calling, to seek the lost, to raise the fallen, comfort the brokenhearted, and heal the afflicted. Enable her pastors and missionaries to courageously proclaim the word of life, that the nations might hear thy mighty judgments and of thine endless love for sinners. Let the nations know that thou art the only true God, and that thou dost sit in all the councils of men and rule in the midst of them, ordaining their rule or taking it away. Grant therefore that they may learn to fear thy name and to rule with honesty and integrity. Dwell in our homes that our houses may trust wholly in thee, and who have a perfect love toward each other, until the day when thou wilt call us from our earthly homes to live together with thee in heaven. Bless all who are in any need of body or soul, and grant that they might humble themselves under thy mighty hand, so that thou might exalt them in due time. Assure them of thine endless mercy. O God of all grace, who has called us unto eternal glory by the mercies of Christ, strengthen, chasten, renew, and perfect us. Hear our prayer in the name of Jesus, to whom be glory and dominion forever and ever. Amen. We sing hymn number 229.
The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks unto the Lord our God.
It is meet and right so to do.
It is truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks unto thee, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty, Everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and with archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify thy glorious name, evermore praising thee and saying,
Holy.
This day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil.
For thine is the kingdom.
The same night in which he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he brake it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. After the same manner also he took the cup when he had supped, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, Drink ye all of it. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the remission of sins. This do as oft as ye drink it in remembrance of me. The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Away.
This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting.
Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace.
Take and eat. This is the true body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, given unto death for your sins. May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins. Take and drink. This is the true blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, shed for you for the remission of your sins.
May this strengthen and preserve you in the true faith unto life everlasting. Amen. Depart in peace. We sing the Nunc Dimittis.
Oh,
thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
O God, the Father, fount and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness didst send thine only begotten Son into the flesh, we thank thee that for his sake thou hast given us pardon and peace in this sacrament. And we beseech thee not to forsake thy children, but evermore to rule our hearts and minds by thy Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve thee through Jesus Christ our Lord, who liveth and reigneth with thee and the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end.
We sing hymn number 49. His countenance upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. Was the Aaronic or the Pauline or something in between, benediction.
Thank you for that. Thank you for that, because as you said in the sermon, we're all sinners. There you go. We can all make mistakes.
So we're having a summer break Bible class on Sunday school right now. What's that?
One more day.
One more day. Okay, so it'll be next
next week will be the first day of the break, right? Still have Sunday school today, and then we pick it up again in first Sunday in September for Sunday school. We'll still have adult Bible class though throughout that period. Okay. And that includes today.